Good afternoon, everyone. We're looking tonight at James chapter 5. The last two verses of the book of James. This will be the 14th lesson in this series, and tonight we will bring the series to a close. James chapter 5, verse 19 and verse 20. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Now I want us to take a look at what this passage says about a Christian's salvation. In this passage, who is the sinner that if they do not return will die in those sins? Who is the sinner in this passage? Look at verse 19. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth. The sinner in this passage is a Christian. This is a letter. The book of James is a letter that was written by a Christian to other Christians. It's that way all the way through. Now go back with me. James chapter 1 and verse 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. Drop down to verse 19. My dear brothers. Take note of this. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. My brothers, and if you're confused on who his brothers are, my brothers as believers in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. The brothers he keeps addressing are Christians. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers. And now, in chapter 5, verse 19, as he brings the book to a close, he says, my brothers, if any one of you should wander from the truth. There is only one logical conclusion to be drawn from this passage. That logical conclusion is that Christians can backslide. That Christians can turn their back on the Lord and can wander away from the truth. When Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, he established the church, which was his M.O., and then when they got established, he went on to plant the seed of the word somewhere else. And shortly after Paul left the church in Galatia, they had drifted away, and he was amazed at that. There was an element there saying that they had to keep some of the law of Moses, including circumcision. And so Paul writes the letter of Galatians to deal with it, and he tells those who are wanting to add part of the law with Christ, in Galatians 5 and in verse 4, Paul plainly told them, you have fallen from grace. How plain is that?
Okay?
In 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 20, Peter said, "For if we have escaped the corruption of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the way, brethren, we escape the corruption of the world is through a knowledge of this book." He says, after you have done that, he says, if you become entangled again in the world, he said, the latter end will be worse than the beginning. He said, it would have been better for you if you had never known the way of salvation than to know the way and then turn from the Holy Spirit. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, Philip goes down to Samaria, verse 5, and he preaches Christ. Verse 12 and 13 says that when the people of Samaria heard the preaching of the kingdom of God, they believed and were baptized. That's verse 12. Verse 13 then says that there was a man down in Samaria named Simon, that when Simon heard, he also was baptized. But after his conversion, Simon sinned. He thought he could buy the gift of the Holy Spirit from the apostles. That's what he thought. And Peter told him in verse, beginning with verse 20 in Acts 8, he says, "Your money perish with you." He said, you need to repent and pray to the Lord that he will forgive you for this wickedness. Brethren, it is possible. If this passage in James 5 teaches us anything, it is possible for Christians to backslide. Now, this is very important, Paul. Because what I'm talking about tonight, right here, this is something that can happen to any of us. Any of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, to him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. When Paul addressed the elders of Ephesus on the island of Miletus, in Acts, the 20th chapter and the 28th verse, he told those elders, you take heed unto yourselves and unto the flock that the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. In verse 30, Paul says that after my departure, grievous wolves will enter in among the flock. And then he tells them, he says, even from your own number will men arise and pervert the gospel. So there, he's talking about elders who are falling away from the church. This is something that could happen to any of us. Any of us. And the greatest mistake that we make is to think that we have arrived and that we can walk around and that nothing would ever happen to take me away from the Lord. You need to live your life in watchfulness. You need to live your life in diligence, because if you're not careful, the devil will drown you out there. So this is some cadenia. Tonight we're going to look at 3 7. Number one, we're going to take a closer look at the passage in James 5, verse 19 and 20. We're going to take a closer look at this passage. Then the second thing we're going to do, we're going to look at the church's responsibility toward those who have left. And when I say the church's responsibility, I'm talking about your responsibility and mine. What is the Christian's responsibility to an erring Christian, one who's on the truth? And then the third thing we're going to look at is we're going to look at the erring Christian's duty to himself and his church. Now, let's begin by taking a closer look at the passage. Now, go back with me to James 5, verse 19. He says, my brother, if one of you should, now note carefully the expression, wander from the truth. Wander from the truth. Now, there are one of two ways that we can wander from the truth. First, we can wander from the truth by accepting false doctrine and refusing to believe the truth. Now, do you know what I'm saying? Listen, when you lay aside the truth of that book and wander off into the teachings of man and call it the teachings of God, you have wandered from the truth. So it's possible to wander from the truth by accepting false teaching and refusing to heed the word of God. But the second way, the other way that you can wander from the truth is by refusing to live your life according to the truth, i.e. engaging in sinful behavior. So he says, if you, my brother, he says, if one of you wander from the truth, whether you wander from it and grab hold of the teachings of man, or whether you refuse to live by it and head out into the world as a prophet. That's how you wander from the truth in one of those two ways.
Now look at the end of verse 19. He says, and someone should bring him back. What should happen to the one who has wandered from the truth? Someone should turn him around and bring him back to the truth. He's wandered from the truth. So what should be done? What should be done is that he should turn back around and come back to the truth. Look at verse 20. Remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Now listen carefully. What happens to the sin of an erring Christian who repents? They are covered over. They are covered over. What are they covered over with? They're covered over with the blood of Jesus, 1 John 1 7. Because only the blood of Jesus could cover. So those sins are covered over. So the erring Christian who turns around and who comes back, the erring Christian who repents, his sins are covered. Now that brings this question, well, what if he doesn't repent? Then his sins are not covered. His sins are not covered. So the Christian brother or sister who leaves and wanders from the truth, either by false doctrine or godless lifestyle, needs to turn and to come back to the truth. And if they will turn and come back to the truth, their sin will be covered. But if they refuse to turn and to come back, then their sin will not be covered. Now, the second thing we want to look at is this. What is our responsibility to the erring person? And when I say the church is I mean yours and mine. What is our responsibility to the erring person? Let me suggest something. Number one, our responsibility is that we have to pay attention to this. We have to pay attention to this. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul said, in humility, consider others better than yourself. Let me tell you something about Paul. Everybody's problems are important to them. Everybody's problems are important to them. And when somebody has a difficulty that drives them away from us, we need to understand that a soldier is safe. A soldier is safe. Now, and I can't be the only one by that, but a lot of times you will hear people, and they're devastated. They're devastated. And after you listen to it, you may have this passing thought about, well, we better do it for our mind. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, this person is absolutely crushed by death. But you have to understand, everybody's problem is important to them. So you have to, we have to pay attention to them. This person is really bothered by this. So you have to get this underlying thing. Because there is a soul at stake here. This person has a problem, and you blow this person off, and this person goes, they're a soul. So we have to pay attention to that. Let me suggest the second thing. We have to pray for that. We have to pray for that. We have to pray that God will use us or something or somebody to get this person's attention again so that this person will turn and come back to the truth. If you know people who are errant Christians, people who are faithful and are no longer faithful, if you know them, you need to pray for them by name. You need to pray for them by name. Because when we pay attention to them, then we get ourselves involved. But when we pray for them, we get God involved. You understand? So we need to pay attention to them. We need to pray for them. The third thing we need to do is we need to go to that person. We need to go to that person. Now, depending on what the person, depending on who the person is, you need to understand two things about them. Number one, they may not appreciate you coming to them at first. They may not appreciate you coming to them. But the second thing you would need to understand is that by going to them, you are doing what God wants you to do. And two has a strong point. So now watch, because we're about to make a little deeper thought here. Listen, it's possible for Christians to get away from God. And if they don't repent, they're wrong. So what should we do? We should pay attention to them. If they've got an issue, that issue is important to them, and you need to hear that issue. You need to pray for that person. If you know that person, pray for that person by name. But then you need to go to that person. And brethren, listen, you need to especially go to them if you know them. Now, are you listening? There's a right way and a wrong way to go to. And a lot of folks have gone and made the situation a whole lot worse than it was before they went. If you go to a person the wrong way, right by the way. Amen.
So there's a right way to go and a wrong way to go. Now, open your Bible to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, and Paul tells us the right way to go. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Okay? Paul says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Now, what are the characteristics of the one who should go to the erring brother? What are the characteristics of the one who should go to the Christian who's caught in sin? Number one, it has to be people who are spiritual. It has to be people who are spiritual. If any of you is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Now.
The people who go should be spiritual. Now, well, what does that mean? Well, let me ask you another question.
Is there something here in the context that explains what a spiritual person is? Well, the only way I'm going to know that is if I back up into the context and read it. And in this context of Galatians 6 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul has explained in great detail the spiritual person who ought to go. Look at chapter 5 and verse 22. Just head up like three verses. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, who is he describing? He is now describing Christians who have allowed the Spirit of God to influence them through the Word of God. These are spiritual, Spirit-filled people. Well, who's that? That's the Spirit. These people in verse 22 and 23 of chapter 5, these are the spiritual person he's talking about in chapter 6 and verse 1. You say, how do you know that? Well, the context tells me that. So who are the spiritual people, 22 and 23? They're people of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, you listening? That's a spiritual person. That's a spiritual person. So who should go? Who should go? Galatians 6:1.
People who are spiritual should go. Secondly, who should go? People who are gentle should go. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Brethren, listen to me. Spiritual surgery very definite. And this is no time to misuse the sword of the Spirit. Because you don't know what they may be going through. Their life may be upside down, or they may be mad. Maybe it's probably me, but they may be mad. If they're mad, one of us will be me. You don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. So you have to be spiritual. You have to go gently. And you know what? I have a puzzle because that's okay. You know, I'm not fucking back. Just I hope they feel better when they're done. And thirdly, the people who go are the people who are watching themselves too. He says you go gently, and he says you be careful, or you yourself will end up being tempted. Yeah, that's like the guy who's on the Belle Isle Bridge,
And he got up on the rail to jump off. And the policeman pulled over and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm jumping off. Pusa says, no, 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 you can't jump off. He said, I can't take life anymore. I'm jumping off. Pusa says, no, no, no. Policeman says, give me 5 minutes to talk you out of it. So the policeman talked to him 5 minutes, and then 10 minutes. And 20 minutes later, the man in the cop boat jumped off the Belle Isle Bridge. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. So, our responsibility,
pay attention to them, pray for them, go to them, but go to them the right way. Now, number three, what is this erring brother doing? Turn to Luke
chapter 15. The return home of the prodigal son is the perfect answer to the question of what an erring Christian's duty is in coming back. Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 17. When he, that is the prodigal, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of the hired men. So he got up and went to his father. Now I want you to notice what he does here.
What is the erring Christian doing and bringing himself back?
Number one, verse 17, the first part of verse 17, he must come to his senses. He must come to his senses. When a faithful Christian gets sin on his mind, that faithful Christian has lost control of his spiritual senses. Amen. And that Christian has become deaf to everybody who tries to talk to him and talk his spiritual senses back into him. So he must come to his spiritual senses. He must come to his senses. And a lot of times, as in the case of a prodigal, a person will not come back to their senses until they get dead by of the sin they're in.
So they must come to their senses. They must realize, you know what? What is the world? What has happened?
Secondly, first part of verse 18. The first part of verse 18. I will set out and go back. Step two, they must resolve to themselves, I'm going back. They must resolve to go back. When a person comes back to their spiritual senses, the next thought is going to be, I got to get up and I got to get myself back to God. Third step, first part of verse 20. So he got up and went to the Father. The third step is you must carry out your resolve. You must carry out your resolve. I have talked to people over and over again. Listen, do you know where you're at? Yes, I know where I'm at. Do you know what you need? Listen, I know I need to come back. I know I need to come back. Listen, it is not enough to understand you need to come back. You got to carry out the resolve, and you got to come back. You have to come back. So this person has to come to their senses. They have to resolve, I got to come back. Then they got to carry out their resolve, I am coming back. And then the last thing they have to do is at the end of verse 18, is that when they come back, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. They have got to confess their sin and ask for forgiveness. When the prodigal son came back home, he didn't slide through the back door and sit in the back and hope the father hadn't missed him. He bumped through the front door and he said, I have sinned. He confessed his sin and he sought forgiveness.
Now let me give you two thoughts there.
You need to resolve in your heart that you're never going to become one of those who wander from the truth. And secondly, you need to resolve in your own heart that you're going to love and you're going to encourage those who have wandered from the truth. Now,
I'm going to close this lesson, I'm going to close this series by saying something, and I'm not being unkind, but I'm saying this because I believe that this needs to be said. Okay? Here it is. Most of the religious world believes that what I have talked about tonight is impossible. Most of the religious world believes that. They believe that when a person becomes a Christian, that there is nothing that Christian could ever say, there's nothing that Christian could ever do, there's nothing that Christian could ever become that would ever cause them to lose their salvation. And what I'm telling you is that that's not what the Bible teaches. And what I'm telling you is that neither testament teaches that. Now, we're leaving in 2 minutes, but I want to show you two verses, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. The Old Testament, I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 and 2 Kings, and then you got 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I want you to listen very carefully to this verse. Write it down. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. 1 Chronicles 28 and 9. Listen to what is said in the Old Testament. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father, and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind every thought. If you seek him, you will be found by him. Now hear it. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. You got it? If you seek him, he will find you. But if you reject him, you'll be gone forever. One more and I'm done. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 2. Paul says, mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. That's the law of Moses. You who are trying to be justified by the law, that is the law of Moses, you have alienated. You have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For anybody to stand and to say that once you become a Christian, you can do anything you want to do, engage in anything you want to engage, and say anything you want to say, and that doesn't affect your salvation, I'm telling you, that is an absolute abomination to God Almighty. That is an abomination to God. we must be faithful to death to receive that crown of life. May all of us live with diligence to remain true and faithful to God. If you're here this evening and if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're here, as most of us are, and you are a Christian, if you've gotten away from God, you need to come back. Seek forgiveness. Confess sin. If you need to come, we're going to stand the first stand. We'll sing the first stanza of the invitation song. You come right now as we stand and sing.